It's a joy and a privilege for me to welcome all of us to worship on this blessed Easter Sunday. Our Easter message will be focused on John chapter 11, the famous story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, so many of the Judeans, the Jews, came to comfort Martha and Mary in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said, "if only you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And yet I know even now that God will give you whatever you ask him." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha responded, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and pulled her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet gotten to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she had got up and left, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb in order to mourn there. And when Mary got to the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," Mary said, "if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But others of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have also kept this man from dying?" And so Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," Jesus said. "But Lord," Martha, the dead man's sister, said, "by this time, there's already a bad odor. He has been in there for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear of me. And yet I've said this for the sake of those who are standing here with me, so that they might believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen, his face covered with a cloth. "Unbind him," Jesus said. "Let him go." The year was 1858, and there was a 34-year-old French acrobat by the name of Jean-François Gravelet, who was determined to be the first person to take a rope and have it strung across Niagara Falls, one side in Canada, the other side in the United States, 1,300 feet long rope, 2 inches thick, and he was going to be the first person in history to walk across it. No safety net, no safety harnesses, nothing but danger beneath him. And with a long pole, very carefully, gingerly, step by step, he made it all the way across Niagara Falls. And there were 25,000 people waiting for his arrival on the other side. This was reality TV before there was reality TV. People were waiting for someone to die. And so as he got to the other side, that began a journey of him not doing this one time, but doing it over and over and over again. In fact, he did it 300 times. Calculate that. That's 74 miles of him walking across Niagara Falls over the course of his lifetime. And he got so competent, he got so proficient at it, that in order to up the challenge a little bit, he would challenge himself by doing different things while walking across a tightrope across Niagara Falls. One time, he carried in one arm a table and in the other arm a chair. And when he got to the middle, he balanced the table and the chair and lounged on it as if he was in his own home. Another time, he had a backpack, and no one knew what was in the backpack, but he opened up the backpack, and he actually had some cooking equipment in it. And he cracked 2 eggs while standing on the high rope. And he cooked an omelet, he tied it to a plate that was connected to a rope, and he lowered it down. You know that boat, the Maid of the Mist? He lowered it down so somebody got a fresh omelet that he cooked while walking across the top. But the most famous of the encounters was him walking across into an adoring and cheering crowd. He said, "Do you think I can do it but walk backwards?" And the people cheered. And he said, "Do you think I can do it walking backwards and blindfolded?" And then the people cheered. And he said, "Do you think I can do that and have somebody on my shoulders?" And the people cheered. And then he said, "Who will go with me?" And no one said a word. Turns out the only person who had enough courage or stupidity to go with him was his manager. Figure they're probably in this together anyway. And when his manager climbed onto his back, the great acrobat said, "Stay with me. Stay close to me. Sway with me. Lean with me. But don't try to balance us. Let me do the work. If you stay close and let me do the work, I will take you safely to the other side." That story demonstrates the difference between the mere profession of faith and a real faith. The profession of faith cheers wildly, "I believe it can happen." But a genuine faith is willing to climb onto the back and to go with and rely on the one who you've seen do the miraculous. Jesus poses a question in today's passage where he looks deep into Martha's eyes and says, "Do you believe this?" And when Jesus asks that question, he is not just asking for a profession of faith. He's asking for a heart of faith. I don't know, as you come to this Easter celebration, if you were dragged here and you don't have any faith at all, or if you're here but you have just the words or profession of faith, or whether you have a deep and abiding faith. But what I want to share with you for just a few moments is that if we will pay attention to the precursor of the Easter story and what God has done in Jesus Christ in John chapter 11, we will see some transformation, some things that happen. If you answer that question, "Do you believe this?" with a resounding yes from deep within your soul, some things are going to change. And the first thing that changes at Easter with a real faith is that your regrets turn into prayers. Your regrets turn into prayers. Did you notice that as both Mary and Martha, sisters though they are, and very different in their personalities, that they both come with the same thing? Lord, if only you had been here. That phrase, if only, carries a universe of regret. If only I had not said that. If only I had said it. If only I hadn't done that. If only I had done that. Whether it's at work, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your relationships, any dimension of your life, the longer you live, the more you accumulate the list of regrets. As pastors, we are privileged to come alongside people towards the end of their life, and most people are filled and riddled with regrets, mostly from the things they did not do or failed to do. Jesus turns your if only into what Martha says, but I know even now God will give you whatever you ask him. The question is, what do you do with your regrets? I am so tired of the phrase that I hear people saying, the universe is telling me something. You need to be clear, the universe doesn't tell you anything. God might be telling you something, but the universe does not. And the beautiful thing, in a detail I had never discovered until this week in this passage, is the idea that it's not just us asking God and bringing to God our requests and our regrets. It is God asking for us. Did you notice that? That Martha comes to Mary and says, the teacher is here and is asking for you. Yes, prayer is asking and waiting in God. But what we need to realize is that prayer is not mechanical, it is personal. And that God is asking for you in prayer. If you don't know where to begin this Easter with a genuine step of faith, just come to God with your regrets and watch him turn those into prayers. That's the first thing that happens with genuine faith. The second thing that happens with genuine faith is he turns our regrets into prayers, but he turns our wishes into hope. Martha says that she knows that one day her brother will be okay, that one day he will rise again. And the most shocking thing that Jesus does in this passage is he doesn't hold on to the one day. He says, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He takes the future and he pulls it into the present. He takes the one day and he brings it into the here and into the now. Wishes are the kinds of things that you can cling to with a one day. They are a longing or a desire that might one day be fulfilled. The hope that Jesus gives us at Easter is that you don't have to wait till you die to begin to live in eternal life. And that he takes that hope and he gives it to us right in this very moment. Wish, you wish for something. Hope, you hope in someone. And the gospel gives us that living hope in Jesus. If you have a genuine faith at Easter, he'll take your regrets and he'll turn them into prayers. He will take your wishes and he'll turn them into hope. He will also take your tears and he will turn them into trust. Mary falls at Jesus' feet, a place that she's been before, and she weeps. The Jews who were with her, her friends, they weep. But the most surprising thing is the shortest verse in the Bible, in that Jesus wept. Tom Wright, New Testament scholar, translates that verse as Jesus broke out into tears. Your philosophy will not cry for you. Your way of life will not weep for you. Nature will not shed a tear for you. Your technology will not weep for you. Your economic security will not weep for you. Why do we put our confidence, our trust in things that cannot cry? You can scour all over human history and worldviews and religions. There is only one God who weeps, and his name is Jesus. And through that, he earns our trust. Your regrets, your wishes, your tears, but finally, your tombs. Jesus takes away the stone. My favorite detail that I learned this year in my study was that word, take away for the stone, is the same verb that is used later in the Easter story when Mary, in her tears on that blessed Easter morning, cries out thinking, they have taken away my Lord. The contrast that John is setting up couldn't be any clearer. Either you believe that they took Jesus away, or you believe that Jesus can take away the stone. Which way is it going to be, my friends? And one day, I believe that he will call each and every one of us by name and tell us to come out of our graves. It's a true story of a father who is taking his kid to school every single day, and his son got to the age where he was constantly looking out the window and asking all kinds of questions about what was happening outside, and it could be a vehicle or it could be some other aspect of school. But on the route, they passed by a cemetery. And as they passed by the cemetery, the son became enchanted by the green manicured lawns, the headstones, all the different dimensions of the cemetery, asked his dad question after question. It's very hard to describe the intricacies and all of the details of death to a five-year-old boy. But that's what he was having to try to do. After a while, the questions about the graves and death and a cemetery settled down. And after a while, he thought that they were past all of those questions. But one day, as they were driving by, there was a freshly dug grave. There was a big mound of dirt. There was the tent. There was the chairs. They were clearly getting ready for a graveside funeral that was going to happen later that day. And as they drove by it, the father wondered if the son was thinking anything at all. But he didn't have to wonder long, because the son said, "Dad, look, one got out." At Easter, we believe that we can cry to our Heavenly Father and say, "Look, one got out." Max Lucado tells the true story of when he was a missionary in Brazil. And while he was in Brazil, there was a fellow missionary who had spent a lot of time into the deep recesses of the Amazon rainforest. And he was working with a variety of villages, but one of those villages was suffering from terrible disease. And the only way to cure the people of that village was to be able to get them to get medications and inoculations by getting them to a clinic. The problem was is that he was having a hard time convincing them to leave their village and to follow him. He got them to follow to a degree until they got to the river's bank. They believed that the great river was possessed by evil spirits and that no one could cross the river and survive. And it did no good for him to try to describe with the language barrier that he had actually come from the other side of the river. It did no good for him to try to describe for them that as he put his hand in the water, or as he waded in a little bit and splashed water on himself. No, it was only when he was willing to dive into the water and to swim across to the other side and to triumphantly put his fists in the air on the other side that the spell was broken, that the superstition was released, and the people knew that it was possible to get to the other side. If you will answer the question today, do you believe this from deep within your heart? There is a great God who will say, "Climb onto my back. Stay with me. Stay close to me. Be with me. But let me do the work. And I will get you to the other side." The invitation that we have this and every Easter is for us to be able to experience the power of hearing our name called in glory and to know that the tomb cannot hold us and that one more got out. Let's pray together. Our loving God and Father, we're so grateful. We're grateful that you are willing to carry us and that you can do what we cannot do, but that you invite us to be part of you. And so we ask that we would respond to your invitation, not with just the proclamation of faith, but with a real faith, and that we will climb into your everlasting arms, bind together all of our regrets into prayers, turn our if-onlys into what we know that you can even do now, transform our longings and our wishes into the hope of you being the resurrection, the future coming into the present. And Lord, in the midst of even our tears, may we learn to trust you, and that they have not taken you away, but that you have taken away the stone, that you call us by name, that death cannot hold us, that one has been released, and that you will not only show us the way, but you will carry us, and we will be unbound and let go. This we pray with great anticipation in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said.